Well, we want to take a look here at some of your thoughts of the sketch that you just saw, Chapel. And let's look at those questions right there. Okay? What were some of the things that you felt or you saw in these sketches? Let's just start there. What are some things, how did it make you feel?
Familiar.
Okay. Familiar. What's another feeling that maybe you picked up through the sketch? What's that?
Selfish.
Selfishness. Okay.
Frustration.
Bob caught on the frustration there. What's that?
Confusion.
Okay. Okay. Lack of contentment. And then we got blame shifting here. Now, what was something that you saw, okay? What was the name, maybe something else that maybe you saw that was, in the back?
Prayer.
What's that?
Prayer.
Prayerful, that's right, prayerful. Okay? Selfishness. What were some words that you heard or phrases or thoughts also that might generate some additional thoughts here?
He coveted,
that's right. Had his eyes on something else. Very good. Coveting. What's that?
Blame.
Come on, Brian, give us one here. Bad swing, didn't you? I was in the rough. Well, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about these two different kinds. Now, these aren't lifestyles, okay? These really aren't lifestyles. What are these? Can you imagine? Can you give me an idea how you really see that? What is that over there? And what is this over here? I'm sorry?
Perceptions.
Perceptions, okay. Perceptions is good. You said emotions, I think. And what'd you say?
Well,
what we're going to do today is we are going to call these rooms. Rooms that maybe we spend time in. And to get this going this morning, I want Mrs. Woods to come up. And I'm going to ask her just to pray over the teaching of the word this morning that it will just... like that passage out of the Old Testament, that his word will not return void, that it'll go forth and do that, okay? Your microphone, babe, is right here.
We thank you for the group of people that are here that are faithful, Lord, and take care of the ones that are not here right now. And Father, as we take to this sermon, this example, Father, let it touch each and every one of our lives, and let us look at each one of our lives and hope that we're not there, Father God, that everything we do for you, Lord, and everything that you give us that we can take forward to other people, Lord, that we can come together and love you and serve you like we should, Father. Bless Marcy and her husband, Father, as they come and give this message, that we can get a lot out of it, Father, that we can take it into our lives, Father. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So let's just do that right now. Let's go ahead and label these rooms, okay? We're going to call this room the negative room. Right over her face. There we go. Yeah. There you go. The negative room, okay? And what you got over there, Marcy?
Each of the signs on this room look fun. You know, it definitely looks more inviting, this room. It even has a welcome mat. Did y'all see that? Did you see the welcome mat? Everything about that room looks much more inviting than this room, doesn't it? Looks like it's a lot more fun to be in the appreciation room than in the negative room.
That's right.
So today we're going to talk about how the time that we spend in each of these rooms can drastically change our lives. Spending time in the appreciation room has the ability to change our lives drastically. Spending time in the negative room also has that same ability to change our lives drastically. And so the title today is Home Improvement, Housekeeping 101.
That's right. Have you ever got one of these at your house? Yeah, baby. These are great. You know what's really great about these? Mine has a cord on it. It's really a good tool, but it only goes as far as you got the cord. So you got to tote around the big cord. And this tool here, if you don't have the thing to go on the end, you're up a creek without a paddle, aren't you? You know, when I look at all these tools in my bucket, if I have this guy right here, which is really great for painting that room, right? We're getting in the corners, tight spots. If you don't have this fluffy thing on the end, you're going to be using your hand to smear the paint on there, you know? So when we talk about tools and rooms, everything is linked together. And so if we try to put a screwdriver on the end of this here, a regular hand screwdriver, it won't work. You have to have the special little gadget to go on there. And this is a problem, I think, probably in some of our Christian teaching, is we take, like, for an example, we take prayer and we put it into a sack, shake it up, and we just pull out prayer. But you know, there's the prayer of where two agree together. There's the prayer of faith. I mean, there's like five or six different kinds of prayer, and we have to learn how to use the tool. And so today, we're going to be talking about some elements that will help us put our tools together so that we can create an environment in our own home, in our own home, in our hearts, so that we can move forward. My mother often said that we can be sometimes so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And I understand what she's saying is that sometimes we have these great talents and abilities that God has given us, but because of our inability to balance the checkbook, to be on time, to do some of those things that are important in life, then we're not able to really fully use the giftings that God has given us. So it's kind of like somebody who has the ambitions to maybe sailing to India. You know, I don't know what Columbus's problem was. I don't know if he had the right septene or whatever that thing's called or what, but he was following the wrong group of stars or something. But in his diary, he simply said, "I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me out further than I have ever gone." And as a result of it, he runs into another continent, you know. So sometimes we need that in our life. But what we need more time, more often, is the ability to put things together so that we can actually receive from the Lord. I mean, have you ever heard the phrase, "I was at the station, but my blessing came in on the boat"? You know, you've got to be at the right station to get the blessing. So I don't know if that really draws any really good conclusions here as we kind of start, but one thing that we want to say is that in these rooms, it will determine which room you spend time in, will determine a degree of your health, a degree of your mental integrity, and your spiritual awareness. If we spend more time in this room, in the negative room, than in this room, then we're going to find that our outcomes are going to be different. Now, this isn't mind over matter, by no means. This is not mind over matter. What this is simply God's word teaching us about sowing and reaping. Let's look at the passage in Proverbs and in 2 Corinthians. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. I've got some passages up here that we can just read if you would like. "He who sows iniquity will reap what? And the rod of his anger will fail. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor." Now that's just sowing and reaping. If you sow it, whatever you sow, you don't sow beans and get carrots, do you? No, that doesn't happen. So we have to sow the right things if we're wanting to get back those kinds of things. We used to manage a thrift store for a mission organization. And people would bring to us all kinds of stuff. And, you know, about a third of it wasn't resellable. And I'm thinking to myself, they're giving me these jeans that the zippers don't work and they got holes in them. What are they going to do? Get a hundredfold return on zipless jeans and holy pants? I mean, you know, we need to be able to sow into people's lives things that are wholesome and whole. Look at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, and a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Now, I think that's out of the Message Bible or something like that. The phrase is to cast and not be stingy with it. To not know what the left or the right hand's doing. Sometimes we just need to not worry about maybe the tax receipt. Maybe we just need to give it, you know? Maybe we just need to go a little step further. I really believe that God will take care of us. He takes care of the birds of the air. Huh? The lilies of the field. Surely he will take care of us, as it says in Matthew 6. And we are his chosen. Not his frozen chosen. We are his blood-bought chosen. Here's some definitions.
The Webster's Dictionary defines appreciation as a favorable critical estimate, sensitive awareness, especially recognition of aesthetic values, an expression of admiration, approval, or gratitude. And the summary is that appreciation is to give something value and then show that value through some expression, verbal or nonverbal. For instance, Mickey and I read several years ago the book, The Five Love Languages, and through reading that book, I know that Mickey's number one love language is words of affirmation. So if I'm going to appreciate him, I'm going to show him love in the way that he understands. I'm going to tell him whenever he does something good. I'm not just going to find those negative things and always harp on those negative things. It's kind of like my little dog Mowgli. People laugh and say that he's a circus dog because he does so many tricks. But, you know, he loves praise and he's an animal. How much more does God's people created in his image love praise just as God loves praise? We operate better through praise when someone gives us praise.
Now tell him what my second love language is.
Spending time with me.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. You know, she even comes out. Sometimes I'll be changing the oil in the car, and she'll come out, and she'll say, you know, do you need some help? And I really don't need the help. Well, I really want is just for her to sit down there, and she will. She'll pull up and just sit down there and just kind of talk with me as I'm trying to, you know, and trying to get the plug out, the bung, and, you know, and that's just kind of fun for me. It's probably one of... I probably enjoy it probably just as much as my number one when we're together like that. Well, let's look at some benefits and our consequences of being in these rooms, okay? Look at the first one there. The word I want you to grab a hold of there is dwell. When we dwell on something, then we are like meditating on it. It's often used in the Bible when we meditate on God's word. We're actually dwelling on it. We've like built a home there. We're thinking about it. And so when we are living in that negative room, it is going to affect definitely our outcome. And so our attitude will become negative. I think David mentioned that. It will affect our attitude. And that will then trigger onto our actions, and then our actions will bring about what we actually have become. And when we look at our history, I mean, it's sometimes we could have just, you know, wrote it down before we started. You know, if you're going to always complain about, let's say, a mate, then they're just never going to live up to your expectations. In the same way, you know, with other people. But with our own life, we have to realize that these negative and positive benefits are something that we have to control. We have to take ownership and realize it's our responsibility for us to be able to determine which room we're going to live in, to be able to manage our own attitude, to manage our own actions. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's not my wife's responsibility necessarily. I love her words of affirmation, but I have to affirm myself too. I can't just look for my boss, you know, to always be praising me. I have to have ambition for my own job. I have to want to do my job the very best that I can. I want to be able to shine. And as a result of that, I have to believe that even my pastors, in the, you know, they are there to encourage us in the Lord, right? But listen, it's not their responsibility for what we do. We have to embrace that. But look at this passage in Proverbs. What does it say? Everybody together. As iron sharpens iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of a friend. So that is true. We can do that. But ultimately, it is that friend's responsibility for himself. Think about David at Ziklag. Do you remember the story? He rides up on his pony. Okay, it was probably a really trooping horse, actually. And he's got all of his mighty men, and they ride up into all this smoke at Ziklag. Their houses have been destroyed. It's been torched. All of the huts are like burning. There's no noise as far as women, children, dogs. They've all been gone, all been captured. And David's men are ticked, you know. They're out defending the name of God. And here they come home and their houses have been destroyed. And then David does this. The word says he pulled himself aside from all of the nagging. Okay? All of the complaining, the griping. And he pulled himself aside, and the word says this simply, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, he probably threw himself down on the ground, rent his jacket, you know, and threw dust on his head because that was a form of grieving in those days. But then it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's where we are today. When David encouraged himself in the Lord, then he got the plan for the day, and God gave him favor. They turned around, and there was a young man walking down the road, and he says, yeah, I know exactly who did that. And David says, well, give it up, man. And they went, and they conquered that other village, brought all their home, the wives home, all their children, all their stuff, you know? And so it's important that we realize that we have that decision to be able to live in the room that we want to live in. It's your choice. And I believe God is calling us to live in the appreciation room because he knows of the negativity and of what it will do to our lives. And so with that, Hebrews 11. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Remember I told you that this wasn't a mind over matter thing? It's not that it's not mind over matter. It's actually faith, okay? We're choosing by faith to live in this room. Now, to be honest, I'm really probably not the easiest person to live with. But Marcy has made a choice to work with me. And the same way with myself, I have made it my life's commitment. In fact, we were saying this last night. Can I share that? I was saying last night on our way up here, I was saying, I don't know if everybody else would say this. They might disagree. But if I had the choice to choose Marcy again out of a group of women, I would still choose Marcy. And I think that is my level of commitment in our marriage, is that we would want to choose, that we are, there are times where maybe we've gone through some difficult things, but we have chosen to say, this is what we desire. This is what God has set in front of us, and we are going to do it. And it's not just between each other, but it's things that we accomplish and things that we do. And so when we talk about faith, listen, it takes just as much faith to live in this room as it does in this room. See, faith is not just a positive thing. Faith is a transfer of energy. And it can be negative or positive. And when I look into God's word, he's wanting us to be pleasing to God by living in God's faith, in his word. You know, we can say that the opposite of faith is fear, but really it's doubt. And they're basically the same thing. It takes just as much energy to walk in doubt and unbelief as it does in faith. Does that make sense? So I'm just using the word faith in both directions. You're using faith to walk in doubt. I mean, think about somebody who is an atheist or now agnostic. You know, for them to walk in that, that takes a lot of faith to believe that this all happened out of just a big bang, a collision of, you know, molecules and gas. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. If they believe that, wow, that's incredible. But I'm thinking that that's not for me. I believe that God is the creator of the universe, and he's created me and us and we and them, and together we're in this. So when we talk about faith, it's something that we must draw near. Look there, line 3. For the one who draws near to him must believe. Listen, there are many people today drawing near to God. They've come to the house, so to speak. They've even dressed up. They wore their best shirt, best shoes, and here they are. But listen, you can't just stop at drawing near. You have to also believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is where the connection takes place. That's where people come to church and then they leave the way they came. When we connect with God, then we don't leave the same way we came. There's a new degree there. It's the onion peeling off another layer. Peeling off another layer, just like an ogre, right? Ogres have layers, just like an onion. That's kind of funny. I don't care who you are, that's kind of funny. So Marcy's going to help me here as we talk about new applications. We must go beyond just satisfying ourselves, okay? It's more than just being selfish. We have to get to the place where we can, in our marriage, with our children, with our peers, the people you go down and you drink coffee with, those same people, play golf with, bank with, all those people, boss, students, teachers, and even with God. We need to walk away from the negative room and walk in the room of appreciation for each of them. Marcy.
All relationships need an environment for healthy growth. They need an environment that's healthy if they're going to grow and mature. You know, if you think about a plant, when you get a plant from the nursery, each one has a little card that tells you how to grow it, tells you what kind of sunlight it needs, if you're supposed to plant it in the ground or keep it in the pot, how much water. And that's all healthy for that plant. That is what is positive for that particular plant. Recently, I had a friend thank me for the involvement that Mickey and I had put into her child. And she had made a comment how much that child had grown in this past year. And I was reminding her that that it was also the healthy environment at home, you know, because it doesn't matter how much Mickey and I pour into a child. I mean, it definitely helps, but we're not the one who's there 24/7. If they're not creating a positive environment at home for that child, you know, what we do is just kind of here and there. It's kind of like scattering seed among the thorny and rocky ground. You know what I mean? Because lots of times that word gets taken away at home. So I was bragging on her for creating such a positive environment for her child at home as well.
And so when we talk about even in the workplace, you know, some people are become so disgruntled because of maybe change in the workplace. And they began living in the negative room. All they talk about in the coffee room is, man, I can't believe he's making us do that. All those new reports and all that, that's going to be so time-consuming. And that computer, man, I just want to pull my hair out, you know, and you're just in that room. Or maybe you're disgruntled because, you know, so-and-so got the office with the window instead of I didn't get the office with the window. And it's just like, really, there's got to be more to life than just spilt milk, you know what I'm saying? There are some major issues in life, but really, when we draw back and look at the big picture, you know, really there's more to continue to live for than those things that we have worked through and have passed us up. We have to live in the negative room, and we have to go to the place where we began to actually board the room up. We've got to close the accessibility to the room. We can't just be able to go there and just hang out all day. I mean, that's what people do sometimes. And we've got to begin to close the door on it.
You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that with God all things are possible. But you know, God gave us a will. If we choose to dwell in this room over here of negativity where everything looks black and negative, how are we going to hear God talking to us? How are we going to hear those words that God's trying to give us, to bring us up, so that we can realize that our problem that we think is so big is nothing? All things are possible with God.
David Neff, editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, he says this. He says, as we enter a post-Christian world, one that's driven by communication and driven by the consumer culture and the entertainment industry, we face more basic challenges such as radical devaluation of human life. You know, where I kind of find where this rubber hits the road kind of thing for me is if I really do devalue someone, I'm going to think less of them. And I'm not going to treat them with the kindness and the words of affirmation and live in a room of appreciation for them. I mean, you think about it. Something you don't really devalue, do you lay it down and nicely put it in a corner? No, you just toss it out in the garage, and if it hits something, it's no big deal. That plastic bucket, just throw that thing out there, right? But when your wife says, will you put the glass nativity in the garage? Well, you can't just stand at the door and go, it's not going to be good. When you turn around, she's not going to have pleasing words to say. I mean, that's the thing she spent, you know, 36 days working on, you know, making at her craft, okay? So, but something you really value, you're going to take care of it. You know, when I do massage therapy, I usually take my ring off. I've never done that until this last few years. But I take off my wedding ring, but I usually put it in my pocket, or I have this place on my shelf that it's visible so I can always see it. And because that's important to me. I value it because of the relationship I have with Marcy. So we must bring back value and appreciation into our lives. From our homes to the workplace, to the grocery store, to the church. I mean, you are God's lighthouse, aren't you? Yeah. Man, I just listened to a song this morning. That's basically what it talked about. You are the visual light that God is, you know, people are looking at. And so we want to make sure God is in us, that we're doing his thing. So when they see us, they're seeing a reflection of who Jesus is. Let's look at two scriptural points. Let's look at blind Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood. And I kind of needed a couple of readers for this. I thought maybe you'd want to look that passage up. Can I get a couple of readers? Can I get someone to... Who's going to go for blind Bartimaeus? You got Matthew? Okay, Matthew. Do you want to read, Brian? Would you want to read this passage about blind Bartimaeus? Yep, in Luke 18.
As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside of the day. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the day rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Then he shouted all the more, son of David. Jesus stopped and looked at the man from Bethlehem. He came near and said, ask him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith is healed. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
Very good. Thank you. Let's look at the woman with the issue in Matthew 9:20.
Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment.
Now, in both of these situations, I think we have people who were challenged, had challenging things going on in their life. And I would have to say that blind Bartimaeus had probably sat on that curb for years. I'm sure he saw Jesus go by several times. And all he had was the dirt and just, he might have had a tin bucket, I don't know if he did or not, to beg for alms. But, you know, this was probably, his view was probably right here. Why me, Lord? Why would I have to lose my sight and sit here with the dogs licking my feet and my hands? And, you know, why would I have to bum for food? I mean, can you see the visual that could be seen there? And the woman with the issue of blood, she could probably echo some of those same thoughts. Why me, Lord? You've given me talents to do this and do that, and here I am sick. You know, I just hardly have enough strength to get up and walk because I've lost so much blood over the years, you know? I mean, this was where she lived. And she got out of that, though. She stepped away from it. She broke some of the laws of Moses to leave her home. Blind Bartimaeus, he decided, I'm not going to sit here and be still. I'm going to cry out, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. And what'd they say? Shh, be quiet. And he said, no. He jumped up to his nubs, you know, to his knees. I can just see him, you know. And then up to his feet, and he's screaming, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe he was over there. He didn't know where he was at. He just knew he was coming. So he was shouting. And the woman said, if I could just get to touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough, if I can just, you know, I can break away from this negative zone that I'm in. And by faith, the word says, she reached over and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Listen, that is some of the same kind of emotions and energy it's going to take to move from this room to live in that room for us today. We've got to let the faith begin to rise up in us and say, I am no longer going to live that way. I'm not going to keep running people down and blame shifting and being selfish and confused and lack of contentment. I'm going to learn to be prayerful. I'm going to learn to be a man and a woman of God that will live in the appreciation room.
Living in the appreciation room also helps me to do some different things. You know, as you can see, this room doesn't give much room for discouragement or depression, does it? I mean, if you look at and compare the two rooms, it's much easier to live in an air of depression in that room than it is in this room, right? It also helps you to prioritize life's pressures. You know, we're living in some pretty tough times right now with people losing jobs and the economy being what it is. But if you're always thinking the negative thoughts, what's going on around us seems so much bigger. But if you choose to look at the things that are important, life and health and godliness and family, you know, honestly, I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for the cars that we drive. But if all of it burned down tomorrow and I still had my family, life would be okay. God provides for us. You know, you've got to prioritize and see what's important in life and what's not. There's things that we can just push away and say, you know, that's under the blood. God's going to take care of this. At least I have this. You know, the more things that you can find to be thankful for, it's almost like God lavishes more on you. You know, the Bible says that your mouth has the power to bring life and death. You can speak life out of your tongue or you can speak death out of your tongue. The more you speak life out of your tongue, the more life comes back to you. That's what living in the appreciation room does for you. It releases us to be free to speak those words of love and free to lend a hand to a friend, free to embrace a hurting heart. You know, when you're living over here, do you feel like hugging anybody and loving on anybody? No, but you sure do when you're over here. You've got more. It's overflowing. You've got it to give out. It puts a smile on your face, and it helps us to learn to leave our baggage at the cross. that baggage of, you know, all the life's pressures around us, you can just leave that at the cross and just choose to focus, choose to give thanks to God for the things that we have. You know, because God loves to give back to a cheerful giver, doesn't he? Loves that.
Let's look at those same, in that same direction of how the appreciation room will affect us. Not just me, so I'm just not selfish, but that how it affects me and the world that I live in. It helps us clear past emotions, just clear them off of our slate, and the hurts that we have between us and other people. When we begin to live in the appreciation room, that person that maybe, you know, took advantage of you financially or whatever, when you're over here, then forgiveness is going to flow over here, and you find yourself actually praying for those people. And that's a spiritual principle. Usually when we have been in a hurtful situation, it's like someone's tied us up with cords. And when we're able to release and say, Lord, I no longer hold that against them, those cords just fall off of us. And they may still have bad feelings, you know, they may still have issues, you know, but God is going to release that off of us so that we can take a clear step and move towards the cross. Another thing is it's going to bring into focus the important issues of life and refusing to cry over those things that are just minimal, spilt milk and those kind of things. It's important for us to begin to focus on important issues. You know, have you ever, this may be more of a, maybe a guy thing, I don't know, but some guys, you know, you may look in the mirror and go, dude, you know, and you're like pumping up, you know, seeing how your physique looks. It's kind of a guy thing, but probably women do something similar, you know, but we can be so critical. We may have on a brand new suit, but people can say, oh, dude, there's one thread, that one thread, right? No, not that one. Oh, yeah, that one. That one's just not right. You know, we can get so nitpicky about stuff. I mean, it would be nice to maybe not have any snags in our suit or maybe no stains on our shirts. But listen, sometimes there's more to live for than just looking around for stains. You know, going into an auditorium, it's easy to look around and go, oh, yeah, there's stuff over there. And, you know, when was the last time that was dusted? Or, you know, why can't I hear? You know, and you can be critical about different things. And maybe what needs to happen is you need to pray for those people who are over those areas of ministry. You know, begin to pray for them. Maybe you need to offer your help in that area of ministry. Maybe there isn't, maybe you feel like the room ought to be swept more frequently or those kind of things. Listen, who's stopping you? Marcy read the book, what was it titled, about Disney? It's called
Seven Keys to the Kingdom.
What a great book. And they asked Disney one day, they asked him, sir, how many janitors do you have?
Zero.
He said, we don't have any janitors. He said, but I do have, remember, it was like 1,300 employees, and each one of them, if they see a thing on the floor, if they see something out of place, a trash can that's overflowing, it's their responsibility to empty it or to pick it up or to clean it up. And I thought, what a great concept. That's 1,300 employees that knows this is their job to run this park. And if you've ever been there, it's pretty spotless. I mean, when they shut down the clock at 12 or 12:30, they bring out a whole team and they repaint and clean and even the gold leaf that they do, they even paint that every night. They're cleaning up. So if that's important to an amusement park, I think probably for our own health and integrity and our spiritual well-being, we need to be dutiful about the things of our own heart. Move away from the negative and to the appreciation room. Number three, it opens up new relationships. You know, when we are critical about other people, we can walk past somebody and go, wow, did you see what they were wearing? You know, but when we have a more positive view in accepting people, and we've been able to release all those pressures on our own life, then we can embrace people who maybe don't look good, smell good, you know what I'm saying? No matter where they're at, maybe they've gone through a difficult thing. And they just need somebody to take an interest in them and to love on them, to speak words of grace into their life. And that person would be the pastor? No, it would be you. It'd be you and me. And then, number four, reflect the true joys of life in us on the face of others. You know, we kind of joke when we drive through Collinsville. That's a little town just north of here. Okay, sometimes on our way home, we'll go up Garnett and swing over there and go to the Sonic, and then we'll drive through town. And just as we're leaving the edge of town, we always look over and go, "Well, there's the Piggly Wiggly." And then one day we were doing that. It was about 11 o'clock at night and drove by there. And I said, "There's the Piggly Wiggly." And I said, "You know, you got to try to say that without smiling or laughing. It's almost impossible to say Piggly Wiggly without smiling or without laughing." And that's how we should be with the joy of the Lord on our life, with the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us and growing out of us. When we get around people, the fruit of the Spirit, when we like bump into them, you know, boom, you know, it should just cause those fruit to like smash, and the juice just kind of squirt on people. Ever been squirted by a lemon? You know? Yeah. Well, it always catches you off guard. And that's how I think the Christian population should be to those who do not go to church or who haven't had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We don't want to be like lemon juice, like, stay away. But the splattering of the lemon juice, you know? We need to like interact with them. We need to let them know that God has done something neat in our lives, and it's poof, it can be part of them too. And as we bump into them with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness, all those things, I mean, that ought to speak for itself. It should draw people to want to be part of, quote, Hope Chapel, First Baptist, First Assembly, you know, the different churches across town. But as we here at Hope Chapel, that should be the number one key that people come. I came because so-and-so was smiling at me in the grocery store, you know? I mean, that should be on people's lips right there. Let's look at that last one. We no longer bring up the past baggage. Remember Marcia said, we leave the baggage at the cross. You guys have done that probably before. You've been up there to the altar, and you get down there, and you're saying, "Oh, God, man, I am terrible. I am a terrible person, and I hurt that man, and da-da-da-da. And will you just take away that?" And he says, "Yes, my son," you know. And then you get up, and then you, as you walk away, you just kind of reach back. You grab the bag, and you just slowly bring it with you, you know. And you're talking to somebody, you say, "Yeah, I hurt this guy really bad the other day." And all of a sudden, you're dumping on this person, you know, all this guilt that you had about hurting this person. Why? Because you got the bag here beside you. So here we go. We go back down to the altar the next week, and we throw it down, and Pastor Don's preaching a really heavy sermon, and Mickey's playing the instrument, and you're just really moved by God, and you're saying, "But God, I need to forgive this guy," and da da da. And so you forgive that guy, and then you walk away, you grab that bag, and you drag it along behind you. You guys have never done that, I bet. I mean, we will drag it around until it just gets open and breaks open, and then it's all over the floor. You know, sometimes we just don't really, I think, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just humanity, you know? We always want to blame somebody else. I guess Adam did. He said, that woman that you gave me. You know, if he would have said, "Lord, it was me. I'm sorry. I should have told her. It was all my fault." What would God have done at that point? Ever thought about it? Might have brought a totally different outcome in our lives. But we got to leave that thing at the cross. And when we live in that appreciation room, we're going to leave that past behind us. And we want to build new relationships. Hopefully not hurt people. So just like blind Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood, people may remember that you were rude or that you were unkind or that you did this or you shortchanged somebody on some work hours. I mean, they might remember that, but remember this. blind Bartimaeus isn't blind no more. And the woman with the issue of blood doesn't have the issues. And even though there may be history, we don't have to continue bringing it up. We can begin to walk in a new path, a new walk. They may remember it, but that's okay. That's between them and the pillow at bed. But today I'm going to continue to walk this way, and I'm no longer that person that I was the other day. So when we talk about moving towards the appreciation room, we have to get to the place that we literally close up that negativity room. Ecclesiastes.
So when learning to live in the appreciation room, it's going to take work. But we hope that you're motivated today in what we've told you. And if you're not ready to see change in your life, maybe these last few verses will help you change your mind. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, "Don't speak evil thoughts in your bedroom because a little bird may carry it away." How many times have you accidentally got caught into gossip? You know, somebody comes to you to gossip, and you don't gossip back, but just the fact of listening to them and just trying to just kind of be a peacemaker and not make waves, you just listen to it, but you don't really repeat it. And then when it gets back to the person who it was said about, it was you that said it, not the person who was actually saying it, just by listening to it. You know, that's how those little birds and those little foxes sneak out and make something of that little thing that you think nobody hears. That little thing, that little negativity room that's in your mind that you're speaking. You know, maybe you speak it to a close friend that you think is never, ever going to repeat it. But guess what? At some point they do. You know, and who gets hurt in the end? You get hurt, your spouse gets hurt, whoever you're talking about gets hurt. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life." So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. You know, I don't know anything about wheat. If I was to decide that I was going to go out and plant a field of wheat right now today, I couldn't tell you how long it has to sit out in the field before it harvests. You know, I could go out and water it and water it and water it for a week and think that I'm going to see a little sprout. And I may not see a little sprout because maybe it takes longer than a week. You know, and maybe finally the little sprout comes out and I water it and think, okay, it's time to go harvest. And the head of the wheat is not there. So, you know, for me to think that I know anything about the things of God, if God says stick strong, stand strong, don't give up, then I need to trust God that he knows what he's doing, not to get weary and give up before the harvest comes. Do you understand that parallel?
Very good, Marcy. So the rooms we live in will determine our health, mental integrity, and spiritual awareness. Now, this is really trusting God. We have to trust him with every area of our life and then choose constantly to dwell in the appreciation room. This morning, as we kind of bring this a little bit to a close, we would like to use that third track, and Marcy and I want to just kind of finish our skit that we started with. So give us just a second there. Well, this isn't going very good. I could stay here longer, but I'm not getting nowhere. It's the same four things over and over. That's the contentment that I want. I just can't look at it no more. You are banned from this room, not to come back. You'll never be able to revisit. I'll not be back. I want this over here. You know, what we'd like to just offer to each of you this morning is, it's kind of a cliche, we want to pray with you. I mean, how many times have you heard that? Oh, we'd like to pray with you. But what we really would desire is for you to want prayer. That you would want the Lord to move in your life. It's really not anything magical that Marcy and I have. The magical part is that element of faith, where you come and meet God where He's at. So that we pray with you. What are we doing? We are rolling our faith up beside you and saying, yeah, we want you to move away from the negativity of this world. Move out of that room. Never go back to it. If anything, let it be a remembrance, a monument to say, that's the way I used to be. But then began to choose the appreciation room. Now, you may have some specific things in your life. And that's the way I think it should be, is you need to bring those specific things. But if you're just way off and you're just not hearing God altogether, and you just got to bring the whole ball of wax and say, Lord, here I am. Will you bow your heads with me? You know, if you're here in the sound of my voice this morning and you'd say, Mickey, I really don't know Christ as my Savior, then of course, man, you need to. You need to know. And so if that would be you this morning, I know it's a small group, but I think it's always important to ask that. We can pray with you this morning and let God just begin to do a new thing in your life. No one's looking around, and if you would, I mean, you're welcome to raise your hand and say, Mick, that's me. I really need to know Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, there may be others of you that would say, there's issues in my life. No, maybe I'm not blind, and I may not have a physical ailment, but there's issues in my life, and I want to move so bad out of the negative room and begin to dwell in the appreciation room. If that's you today, I'm not looking for just a hand. I'm looking for you to scoot out of your chair and just come up here and find a place around this altar, where we can pray with you, agree with you, that God would do a new thing. Because to be real honest, it's not anything new that I'm going to say to you. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit and your faith of your actions that's going to bring healing. Remember the issue of the woman of blood? He said, thy faith has made you whole. So I just would call you to respond to God's word and to come and find a place here at the altar. Let us circle around you and pray with you. And I just want to give you that opportunity to find God this morning and to move from the realm of the negative world to a world of appreciation, where we no longer bring up those things of the past. We no longer have to put on the frown. We have the joy of starting anew. If that's you, will you join us here?